For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. It is September the 21st, and we are on page 472. This is going to be an abridged class because the Rebbe is in Solomon's talk tonight. And this will be our last class before we break for Rosh Hashanah and Sukkot, and we'll begin again after Sukkot. Last time we had read through the description of the tzitz, which is the headband, the golden headband worn by the Kohen Gadol. Mm-hmm. And we discussed it a little bit, but we left a few points that we need to cover tonight. So I'm going to reread those psukim, those verses of the tzitz. Again, on page 472, it starts with Pasuk Lamed Vav, verse 36. The asisa tzitz zahav tahar, you shall make a tzitz, which is a headband. We said the word tzitz is from the same word as tzitzis, which means to stand out or to be noticed, to be visible. It's made of pure gold. Ufi tachtola pituchei chosam, and you shall engrave upon it, like the engraving of a signet ring. That's the form of engraving. Kodesh LaHashem, the words Kodesh LaHashem, sanctified to Hashem. We showed last time the difference of opinion in the Gemara, whether Kodesh LaHashem was spelled on one line or whether the name of Hashem was actually elevated. Is it spelled this?
Yes.
Okay. Well, the name of Hashem is elevated above the word Kodesh and the letter Lamed. V'samto so'a psil techeles, you shall place it on a blue wool string or strand. V'haya al hamitznafes, and it will be on the mitznafes, which is the hat. Now, we haven't discussed the hat yet. We know there is one, but we haven't actually discussed it's being made yet. But this strand of blue wool is going to be on the mitznefes, on the hat. El mul pnei mitznefes, yet in front of the mitznefes it will be. V'hayah meitzach Aharon, and it, meaning the tzitz, will be on the forehead of Aharon. V'nasa Aharon es avon ha-kalashim, Aharon will carry the sin of the sanctified korbanos. Asher yakdishu bnei Yisrael, that the Jews will make holy, they'll sanctify. V'chol matnos kat shehem, for all their gifts of different karbanos. V'hayah mitzchot tamid, it shall be on his forehead consistently. L'ratzon lahem lifnei Hashem, that it should be pleasing for them in front of Hashem. We discussed last time that what this pasuk means to say is that the tzitz atones for those sacrifices that are offered that are inadvertently tamei, that are impure, they're meant to be tahar, they're supposed to be pure, and unfortunately they're impure, and the tzitz takes care of that problem if the person offering it didn't realize that it was impure. We discussed whether the Kohen had to actively be wearing it, or whether it was sufficient, even if he wasn't wearing it, that it would be okay. And we also discussed last time the comparison between the tzitz and the tefillin, in that the tzitz was something it says tamid constantly, whether it means he always has to be wearing it or means that when he is wearing it, he needs to always remember that he is wearing it. Has to be constantly remembering it's there. Similar to the tefillin, or the tefillin is similar to it, in that when a man is wearing tefillin, he must always remember that he is wearing the tefillin. The points that we did not cover last time, which we will try to cover this evening, are, first of all, what does it look like exactly with the different strands of blue wool that are meant to hold the tzitz to the forehead and that it goes over or on the hat? What is the relationship between the tzitz, which is made of gold, and those strands, which are made of blue wool? What is the relationship between the tzitz and the hat itself? What is that relationship? And finally, what does the tzitz atone for? We said that each of the garments of the Kohen Gadol atone for something specific. What sin does the tzitz atone for? It's true that Torah does make reference to the karbanos that are offered that were inadvertently impure, but the Gemara does add a particular sin for which the tzitz atones. And let's begin with that. The tzitz atones, the Gemara says, for Azus Meitzach. Azus Meitzach, which is one of the things that we say in Al Chet for on Yom Kippur, you might actually remember that one because it's one of the last ones that is said, you know, when we say the Al Chet, so every so often in the Al Chet we pause and we say the Al Kula Melokas Lichos Slach Lanu Mechalanu Kaper Lanu, and for all of them God atone for us. And the Chazan says the last stanza out loud. Well, Al Chet Shechatanu Lefanecha Ba'azus Meitzach, with this phrase, Azus Meitzach, is one of the last in those stanzas. It's the last line of one of the groups of Al Chet, and therefore it's one that may resonate with you. And the words mean brazenness. A Meitzach is the forehead. Azus is brazenness, of the forehead. Both the Tanakh scripture and the Gemara consistently associate brazenness with the forehead. That's where it's always associated. The forehead being the thing that, I guess, stands out most on a person's face. And chutzpah, brazenness, is to put oneself forward in a way that is in a way that is meant to be, as they say in the vernacular, in your face. And that's what brazenness is. That's what chutzpah is. And the tzitz, which is worn on the forehead, atones for azus meitzach, for brazenness of the forehead. What avera is that? Is it one of the taryag, one of the 613 mitzvahs? Before, we've had sins that are a little bit more avodah zarah. That's clearly, idolatry. We had ritzicha, we had murder, lashon hara, we had perversion of justice. What sin is azus meisach, as being brazen? When we say, and I'll hate for it, we say, God, we sinned before you with azus meisach. So, having chutzpah, when we're not supposed to, which is any time we're dealing with God, there's no room for chutzpah. And if one has that towards God, that's a sin. It is rejecting God. It is forgetting our place in this world. It is the opposite of humility. And one is not allowed to do that. And unfortunately, we all sometimes have a little bit of chutzpah towards God. And that's why we confess of that, for that sin on Yom Kippur, and it is such a bad sin that the tzitz atones for it. One of the eight clothing of the Kohen Gadol is there to atone for this particular sin. The tzitz is made out of pure gold, and it is a band that goes from ear to ear. Now, a band that goes from ear to ear won't stay on your head; it'll fall off. It's not strong. It's not. It doesn't go all the way on the head. It's not a band that goes all the way on the head to stay on, and therefore it will fall off. It's not grabbing onto enough of the body to remain in place, and therefore it needs these strands to hold it in place. They have a picture here on the top left of the side of the English on page 473, which is the way Rashi explains the tzitz. Not everybody agrees, of course. As again, we have the danger of pictures. The danger of pictures suggests that this is the only way to understand what it looked like, which is not so. There are other ways of understanding it. But this is the way Rashi explains it, that the tzitz had three holes that were cut into it. And in those holes, there each one had a strand of blue wool. The blue wool threaded through the hole and came out the other side, in which case you ended up with each of the three holes now had two strands of blue wool that came out of them, because there was one strand doubled over, threaded through that hole. Those now six strands of blue wool were brought together in the back of the head of the Kohen Gadol. On either side, you had these two strands on either side that came together in the back of the head. That made it now a complete band around the head, starting with gold. And then for the back of the head, you had the blue strands. And then, that would be good to hold it around the head, but again, it could still slip. So there is also the blue strand of wool that goes in the hole in the middle of the tzitz and runs over the top of his head, again, coming together in the back of the head. All six strands come together in the back of the head where they are tied together. it is unclear to me, now don't say we don't know, it's unclear to me whether they were tied together in a like a bow or something like that, which could be easily untied, that the Kohen Gadol would constantly tie and then untie every time he took it off and put it on, or whether it was knotted and now he had this this thing which you could just, it's essentially almost like a crown which you could put on and take off and not undo the strands. You could see how the strands could remain tied together consistently and never be undone because it just fit his head. So it's unclear to me how that worked. But at any rate, all six came together in the back of the head where they were knotted together. The one that went over the top of his head did not fit his head. It was actually larger than his head because, as you see in the picture of the Kohen Gadol in the lower part of that page, at least one depiction of the Kohen Gadol, the middle strands actually went over the hat, over the mitznefes, over the hat itself, which is what is meant when it says in the Pasuk, in Lamed Ches in 38, in Lamed Zayin in 37, it says, V'haya al ha-mitznefes, it will be on the hat. So the strands went over the top of the hat and knotted in the back of the head. So you have now a tzitz which really only remains on the head when you have these six strands, it's really three that are six, strands of blue wool that hold it together. The similarity to the tefillin, that you have a knot in the back of the head. The tefillin is worn the same way. You have a box for the tefillin shalrosh. The head tefillin is worn with a box. The box has a strap, a leather strap that runs through it, and the leather strap runs to the back of the head, and there is a knot that is in the shape of a dalid, and that knot is what keeps the tefillin on the head. Now, unlike the tzitz, the tefillin is worn further back on the head. This is hard for me to describe to you, because, as you'll hear momentarily, the tefillin is supposed to go above the hairline. So you'll have to imagine it on my head. It goes above the hairline, or where the hairline used to be. Right. That's where it goes. Now that's pretty high up on the head. That's not over here, not in the front of the forehead where it can easily slip down. It's up on the top of the head, which is why the tefillin does not slip down, because it's supposed to be tight, and it's worn up on the top part of the head where the hairline is or used to be. And that's why the tefillin stays tight. The tzitz, though, is worn lower down. The tefillin actually went above where the tzitz was, as we mentioned before, that there was a gap between the tzitz, which was lower down on the forehead, and the hat, which was further back on the head, and that's where the tefillin was worn. So here there is another knot there in the back, which holds the tzitz in place. I will take a few questions, but we do have what to cover, and we have a short time, so let's just make these short questions. Yes?
I don't understand how an item serves as atonement for Nevera. Is it a reminder of what happened?
Okay, that's a good question. That's true of all the articles of clothing,
right,
of the Kohen Gadol. Yeah, so his wearing of the clothing seems to atone, which is a good question. That's a question which I think we'll leave for tonight. It's a general question, which I hope you'll remember after Sukkot to bring up again. Okay. It's a good question. I think that that's something which we can lump together with the concept of the Kohanim eating of the Karbonos, and that also brings atonement. The Gemara says, Kohanim ochlim, the Kohanim eat, ubalim miskaprim, and the owner of the sacrifice is atoned. So you have the Kohanim doing things which creates atonement, but it's hard to understand what the correlation is. So it's a very good question. I'd like to leave that though for a future class. Hopefully one of us will remember that.
I just got it written down.
Okay.
That doesn't mean we'll cover it on the first class, but at least we'll remember it. Yes, you have a question?
Yeah, just a quick question. Why when you describe Shema Yisrael, put the first thing in there?
Yeah, that's okay. That's what tefillin, that's a good question. Why does it stay between your eyes when it's really above the head? Okay, that's a good question. Yes? Yes?
Where are the straps of the
shalrosh? Of the tefillin? They must be in the regular place. The straps of the shalrosh are supposed to be directly in contact with the body. They're not supposed to be blocked by anything. Oh, these straps that come in the front. I don't know. It's a good question also. Not clear to me. Not clear to me exactly where they went. So the question is where the ones that came, the straps of the shalrosh now come around and go down the front of the body. So where were they exactly? Don't know. Yes?
In this picture where it says the tzitz head plate, okay, there's six straps. I can understand
how the two on one side of the head and the other two on the other side of the head could probably tie together, right? Where the middle one?
I don't know. I don't know how it was knotted. I mean, those who make knots can make knots with all kinds of things. I mean, you know, the six, I don't think six strands is complicated. It's a different kind of knot, whatever it is. You just...
Did it have to be one knot?
I don't know.
Different configuration?
I don't know.
Or it's the middle.
I don't know exactly what it looks like, so I can't answer that question. Okay, now, it's clear over here that the seats and the mitznefes, the hat, form one article of clothing. Which means that just as we saw with the choshen, the breastplate, and the ephod, the apron, where they really needed to be worn together, the tzitz and the mitznefes, the hat, also needed to be worn together. The tzitz, because of the fact that the middle strand was really much too big for his head, if he had not been wearing the hat, that middle strand would be loose, in which case the whole tzitz could then tip forward onto his nose. So clearly, he needs the hat there. He needs something to fill in the space where that middle strap is going. In addition, the hat, think about it, the hat is worn back on the head because there has to be space for the tzitz and for the tefillin. So the hat is worn further back. A hat that's worn further back on the head and doesn't pull down around the ears is kind of precarious,
mm-hmm.
right? It can easily fall off. If you don't have a strap, like running under your chin or something, holding on that hat, mm-hmm. it can easily fall back. The Kohen Gadol, although, had the tzitz over this hat, which held the hat on his head. So he has the tzitz and the hat, the mitznefes, each one essentially keeping the other one in place. So they're worn in tandem. So even though they are separate garments, but clearly they are meant to be worn as a unit. So that then is something for us to think about, the relationship between the hat and the tzitz. Yeah.
The metal straps, I would think, would then prevent the tefillin from being in the right place.
Well,
unless they're like all the way over here.
Or they went over the tefillin as well.
It shows it in the middle.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying, but if the tefillin is here also.
Yeah. It's again, the picture is obviously inaccurate because
it doesn't
have the tefillin
on.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Here it shows the tefillin and the strap to the side of it.
Yeah. Okay. So again, it's a suggestion. It's a suggestion that nobody, they're not certain
about
it.
Oh, yeah, it is over on either side of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a suggestion. Mm-hmm. It may have gone over the top as well.
Oh, yeah.
Was the turban a single hat?
Yeah, it's okay.
Or was
it
like wrapped? Because like in this picture, it looks like it's like this.
Yeah, so we haven't actually gotten to the construction of it, but we're not going to know. It's just going to say that it's made out of linen and that's that. So we're going to leave. We don't know.
Okay.
We don't know exactly what it looked like. Yeah.
Just a quick comment. The mitznefes, even with the tzitz, seems to me like a keter, like a crown.
Yes, there's no question.
Because it's like the crown, the malchus of the
kohen,
as opposed to the crown of Torah.
Good, okay. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech
haolam
shehakol nivra.
Amen.
Okay, so we know that there is a crown of kahuna, of royalty, the priesthood, and that's the Kohen Gadol, and if you're going to talk about a crown, then what goes on the head is going to be the crown, and gold is certainly something we would normally associate with a crown, or we would associate a crown with gold. So the tzitz would seem to be the item that is the crown of the kahuna. However, as we mentioned, the tzitz doesn't sit on the head properly without the blue straps, and then in addition to that, you need the hat as well in order for everything to sit properly. So we now have really several things woven together. You've got the golden tzitz with the name of Hashem engraved upon it, which he has to remember constantly is there. And we talked about that's to remember that Hashem is always the one who's in charge. Then you've got the blue wool that holds the tzitz in place. Without the blue wool, the tzitz would fall right off. Mm-hmm. But even with the blue wool, the hat actually makes it fit properly. Without the hat, the tzitz wouldn't fall down, but it wouldn't fit properly. And at the same time, the tzitz, or with the blue wool, with the straps, is holding the hat in place, so the hat doesn't tip off his head as soon as he moves it backwards. So everything is working together. So we talked about how these materials represent different things. And we've already mentioned, when we talked about the me'il, about the jacket, that the blue wool represents
Shemayim.
Okay, represents the heavens, represents Shemayim. It's ruchnias, it represents the spiritual realm. The blue wool, the techeles, which is the same blue wool that is used for the tzitzis, when we have the blue wool, and the same blue that's used for the jacket, for the me'il, this represents the divine presence, it represents the shechina, it represents the ruchnias realm, the realm of spirituality. Gold represents not only the domain, the non-animated, non-living elements of this world. If you, just to remember briefly, the linen represents the growing things. And we talked about how the red wool and the purple wool, which resemble blood, they represent living creatures, either people or animals. The gold represents the class of domain, of those of non-animated things of this world. Stone, wood, sand, dust, metal, all of that are non, they don't grow, they don't move, they are their domain. Domain means literally silent. They have no animation. But gold is certainly the most precious of all of those things. More than that, strikingly, gold is, it also represents something which is the most expensive of all material items. That doesn't mean you can't find something that's more expensive. In theory, you could. Perhaps there are some rubies or gems that could be more expensive. But when you want to talk about something that everybody covets, everybody wants, you know, gold is that standard. When currency first was created, thank you, then gold standard, right? Gold is the thing that you want to have as your item. So gold represents really the most of this world, the most materialism of this world. And while the wool, the blue wool, is just the opposite. It represents spirituality, almost the opposite. So the truth is that the blue wool coupled with the gold really, if anything, is a representation of a human being. Where you have, everybody is made up of a spiritual side and a physical side, which is fused together in the greatest miracle of all, that the two things stay together, and that we, as people, are constantly struggling between those two things. Our spiritual side, our physical side, are constantly pulling at each other, and of course, our job is that the spiritual side should win out. The tzitz has that representation as well. And it is, on the gold is engraved, Kodesh La Hashem, sanctified to Hashem. How does the gold become sanctified to Hashem? That is when we elevate the gold to the level of the spirituality of the blue wool. We don't have time to discuss here in detail the way that it works with the spiritual side of ourselves and the physical side of ourselves, but suffice it to say that it's not that when one does a mitzvah, his spiritual side is at work and his physical side is not. When one does a mitzvah, the spiritual side is pulling the physical side to the spiritual, which makes the physical somewhat spiritual. Unfortunately, the other thing works as well. When a person, God forbid, does an aver, there's a sin, his physical side is actually dragging his spiritual side into physicality. And in a certain sense, it becomes somewhat physical. There's something going on like that. There's this war between the spiritual and the physical. And this sits with the blue wool, represents that. Why does a man put something on his head?
Can't remind you that Hashem is
What is the name of this thing?
Yarmulke.
A yarmulke. Comes from the word? Yare Malka. Yarmulke. Yare Malka, which means fear of God. The Gemara says, Kase Roshka, cover your head in order that you should have Yirah Shamayim, in order to have fear of heaven. That's a head covering. A hat is meant to be a super head covering. That's what a hat is. Of course, we wear hats for various reasons, but a hat, when it is worn for spiritual reasons, the hat is a super head covering to to remind us that we are beneath something, that we are beneath God. God is above us. God is always in control. The head covering reminds us that there is a God above. The tzitz works in tandem with the hat. The constant memory that there is God above is the way for the spiritual side of ourselves to win or pull or influence our physical side and make our physical side spiritual as well. And it's by the same token, the only way for the Yarei Shamayim, for a person to have fear of heaven, is when they are engaged in this battle. When a person, I know I'm referring to the hat staying on the head via this tzitz, a person can say all he wants, he's going to have fear of heaven, but the only way to demonstrate that is with the physical body acting in the proper manner. And that is when the tzitz, that struggle is taking place, that's when the fear of heaven is demonstrated. Fear of heaven doesn't stand in a vacuum. It is within our physical world that we demonstrate the fear of heaven. I think that, even though we didn't plan it this way, I think this is a good message to take into Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur.
Okay. Thank you.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.